Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Oh, hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome once again to Why Fish Radio. As always, Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red, Today's Tackle, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Want to get that in early because every once in a while I have a tendency to get wrapped up in other things and forget. Well, folks, we have a special show for you this week. We're going to talk a little musky fishing. From the good old Grand Forks Air Force Base, we have John Falk. John, welcome to Why Fish Radio.
Morning, Brad. How you doing today?
Fabulous. So, where are you from originally?
I'm from Black Earth, Wisconsin, about 20 miles outside of Madison. Born and raised there for a couple years, so.
So you're an evil badger?
I'm a good badger.
Oh, come on now.
You got to be a badger fan. To be respectable, you got to be a badger fan.
Yeah, go Sue. Well, we're not here to talk hockey. We're here to talk fishing. So John was kind enough to meet up with us today to talk a little musky fishing, because that is a place where we're a little weak, so we thought we would help you guys out who like to do a little musky fishing. So what got you started in musky fishing? What kind of got your attention to that?
My father used to musky fish a lot when I was a kid, and he'd go on his weekend trips and go musky fishing. It was something I always wanted to do. And when we go up north for the week in the summer, we'd get out and he'd let me throw a couple times here and there and here and there, and finally get to go on the trips with him on the weekends. And that's what drew me into it. He always had such a good time, told the stories about never catching a fish, but always seeing them and here and there and how fun it was. And to not catch a fish and still have fun, it had to be something special about it. So
you're saying it's been a lifelong mission, in other words?
It has. It's a dedication.
How old were you when you caught the first one?
I was 13.
Something you never forget.
Well,
we always talk. We always talk about how, you know, that first fish, no matter what it is, you never forget it. Was that your first fish?
No, it wasn't my first fish, but it was my first muskie. It was my first legal muskie, actually, all one shot. And my dad was there, and he got it all on videotape. Was the real cool thing about it. So it was exciting. I know the lure, the moment, the rod. I broke the rod, and I still have it sitting in the closet.
See, memories are forever, folks. So now you've been doing this for a lifetime, and you know, you've talked already mentioned about the thrill, and we've kind of joked about it here a few months back when we reviewed the video 10,000 casts from Cave Run, Arkansas. Yeah. And is it truly the fish of 10,000 casts?
Muskies can be the fish of 10,000 casts or 5 casts. You can literally spend 2-3 straight days without seeing a fish, and then all of a sudden have back-to-back hits or a follow-up. I mean, instantly, and it's there. I mean, it's what you fish for half the time.
Is there a way you could kind of describe the feeling of when one comes up and nails it right at the boat?
When a fish hits the lure right at the boat, it's extreme. It's so much adrenaline rush at one time that it's hard to describe. After catching a fish, I mean, even at the boat or hitting away and having to fight it for a couple minutes to get it in, after catching a fish, it usually takes me about 3 to 5 minutes to calm down to where I can cast again.
And is there something you need to do? Is there a process when they come up and nail it on the figure eight? Is there something that you need to remember to do, or do you just hang on?
Hang on. A lot of people, when they're coming in on the retrieve, right before the figure eight, they hit their bail and they put their thumb on the spool. So if they hit it, the fish hits it, they can set the hook, and then they can let the fish run a little bit and get out a little bit for helping to fight the fish.
Is that a good idea, or do you
do
that? It is
a good idea. It saves a lot on your pull. It saves a lot on your drag, and a lot less chances of the fish just turning right there and busting your line.
Well, I'm going to back up just a couple steps here. And now, you've been doing this for your life. I've never done it personally. So I want to get started in this, and I need to go to the store. What am I going to look for? And I don't have a ton of money to spend. Can you set me up?
You can go to the store and you can walk in with a $100 bill and walk out with almost everything you would need to just the basic musky fish. You need between a 5.5 foot and 8 foot. It doesn't have to be graphite. It can be just a regular fiberglass rod. You need to have a bait caster, Abel Garcia bait caster, a 4600 or a 5600 works just perfectly fine. And you're going to have to run at least 30-pound test. A lot of people shy away from mono, and they're going to the braideds because they get the heavier pound test. A lot of people like the spider wires, the new braids, the fire lines, but some people don't like it because they're too thin, and if the fish spins, it'll cut the fish and hurt the fish. So they try and stick with the wire. Good rod, good reel, something you can depend on, something you can cast all day is very important. The next thing you want to look going down your line is going to be your leader. And leaders are important because you don't want to have a bite off. We've had it northern fishing, most people have, and if you're a musky fisherman, you know you've had one or two bite offs fishing for something else.
What length of leader? I mean, that's something that, you know, even in northern fishing, the question comes up from time to time. What length? I mean, personally, I like a 6-inch leader on a northern tip-up, for example. What's a good standard leader to go with for musky?
Standard leader would probably be 6 to 8 inch. Usually your leader length and type of leader will vary bait to bait. If you're going to use a walk the dog or a glider lure, you want a little bit, you know, a lighter, a wire, real light wire leader, so that way the bait can move on its own. If you're throwing something that's just a straight retrieve, you're throwing a diver or a buzz bait or a bucktail, a little stiffer lure, you know, straight line leaders work just as good.
And now, you've kind of mentioned some of the names of lures and stuff. Is there one or two kind of go-to lures for the beginner?
For the beginner, I'd say if you had to pick 6 lures out of the box, you would go with Suic baits. It looks like just a solid piece of wood, and it's a jerk bait, but it produces muskies year after year for many people. Your color, your choice. The next thing is you'd probably want to put in your box a good topwater lure, either a cherry bomb, jackpot, something that's going to make a lot of noise, be real attractive on top of the water, move some water around, annoy some fish. Bucktails are real important. I mean, they're an inline spinner bait. Again, colors vary everywhere you go. Every fish you dip fish for, colors vary. So that's real important to do. The bucktails are a spinner bait with just fur on the back. They can have tandem or single hooks. They're always treble hooks usually. Some have single hooks on the back, but it depends on who makes them. I really like my bucktails. That's one of my favorite lures to fish is my bucktails.
It seems like in the limited experience I've had and the limited people that I've talked to about it, bucktail seems to kind of be the go-to bait for everybody.
Bucktails come up a lot. They're real easy to throw. I mean, as long as you can operate a bait caster, you can throw a bucktail because you throw it and you retrieve it. You can vary your speed from fast to slow depending on what the fish you're responding to. You can add a little bit of weight in front of it, and you can dive it down deeper. You can let it set and go down deeper. You can burn them right across the surface and make a ripple above the lure.
Well, you seem to be pretty versed in how to set up and use the equipment. So now I'm going to go fishing, and now we're going to use good old Grand Forks as the center point. Send me to some water for some possible success here.
Go east.
To
Cass Lake, Bemidji, Minnesota lakes 2 hours east of here they're filled with fish, and it's an abundance. Leech Lake, they say, has the fastest growing muskies that they know of as of right now. The Leech Lake strain is a very popular strain if they're trying to stock lakes. Clear water at Leech Lake makes it fun to fish because if you have a fish coming behind it, you can usually see your fish coming up to the lure. Makes for a great follow-up.
Now, when you're out on the water doing this, do you look for any particular structure? Do you just kind of go for the structure, the humps, the bumps, the points, the weeds, kind of like what we would do for northerns?
You're going to look for the main weeds that muskies like to hang around for some reason are called cabbage weeds. They're, you know, a real big leafed weed, and they muskies prowl the edge of them. They'll get in and out of them. If you can find the cabbage, you can find the pockets, and you can buzz across the top of the pockets or run the strips to go through in between the sets of cabbage weeds, usually you'll get a fish that's laying down there in the bottom.
And then it's just a matter of getting them good and riled up to chase you.
It's a matter of getting them good and riled up, pick the right lure, make them mad, and make them come after you.
Now, being in the Air Force, I'm sure you've gotten to travel the country a little bit. Where's some more exotic waters to us up here in the North Country that you've gotten to fish?
I've fished a little bit of everywhere. I've fished all across the Midwest. I've fished from Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma. I got to do a little bit of fishing up in Alaska, which was a great time up there. Kentucky, Arkansas, down all the way. I fished the Gulf of Mexico this summer. The Air Force got to send me down there. I got to go fish down in the Gulf off of the coast of Mississippi and Florida. It was a good time.
Have you ever been to Cave Run?
Never been to Cave Run. It's on my list.
Well, I just had to bring that up since we reviewed the video from there. Now, I'm going to get away from muskies. I really appreciate the information because you have some pretty in-depth information that can get somebody started or at least get them on the right track to doing the homework. Before we hit the record button on the old live to hard drive show here, we were just talking about ice fishing and stuff. And seems to me you kind of like the small water. What drives you to the small water around here?
Small water is easy to fish. You can look at a map, break it down in a hurry, and you can target fish. It's easy to pick up and move. You ain't going to move too far to find another spot to fish.
Well, when you get out there to the small waters, is there anything in particular you're looking for, or are you kind of non-denominational when it comes to fish?
Say we arrive at a particular lake, you're looking for a drop-off. Most of the time, you start at a drop-off and then search from there. Fish like to hang drops in, you know, low-lying areas. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on. I know you've been experimenting with the Red River a little bit. Got any goals for the catfish in the Red here?
I have a goal for the catfish in the Red. I'd like to see a 15-pound plus this summer in my boat. And I definitely would like to put some slime on that thing. So
I don't think that'll be a problem if you stick to it. But I think that's going to do it for tonight, folks. Once again, I got to remind you, if it wasn't for our sponsors, this show would not happen. Today's Tackle, the place of the Ice Buster Bobber. Have you gotten to use the Rod Rocker 2 yet?
I have not got to use the Rod Rocker 2. I've seen them in use, and they seem to work.
They're about $4.50. Go to the store and get one. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
I do have to say the Ice Buster Bobbers are a great invention to ice fishing. They're a big help.
And we're also brought to you by Cats on the Red. I know you've not gotten to go up to Cats on the Red yet. Put that on the list. That should be right behind Cave Run.
That's on the list. That's actually probably going to be before Cave Run. It's very accessible right now.
And we are all brought to you by Trophy Cat Adventures. And I want to remind everyone once again to sign up to win that day's guided trip with Kent over at Trophy Cat. We've got some amazing fish in this river. Kent's as good as they get for the guides, so keep sending them in. Name, address, telephone number to contest@whyfishradio. We'll get you in for that drawing, which is going to be in the early part of May. I know John's been trying for that week after week after week, so give him some competition anyway. But that's going to do it for us. John, thanks for joining us here at Why Fish. We'll have to do it again. And for Brad, who is not here, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.